You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Isang magandang araw po sa inyong lahat. And today, Pastor Archie just requested me to be able to share the Word of God. It's part of the Gospel Explained sermon series. And I'm going to read from Romans chapter 8, verse 1 to 12. Please stand with me in reverence to God's Word as we read several verses. I chose, allow me to read from NIV 1984. It says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it." You know, as Christians, as sons and daughters of God, we also represent. But what is the mark of the Christian life? You know, I remember marks of a disciple, the small group material, victory group material developed by Pastor Steve. I hope if you have not gone through that, please go through that with your victory group. You know, there's nothing like going through the Word of God together with your peers and a bunch of people excited to pray for one another. And the Bible text we read describes our new life while also teaching us how this life comes about. So it's a little bit doctrinal. And we have talked about the gospel in the previous installments of this the Gospel Explained series. But it goes much, much deeper. And Romans chapter 8 actually has a lot, very meaty chapter, in maybe for me, one of the best chapters in the book of Romans altogether. The Apostle Paul was writing the church in Rome and was explaining now, you know, after the struggle that we have with the nature and all that, he begins to expound on it some more. And it starts in verse 1 about two benefits of being in Christ. It says in verse 1 and 2, it says, "No more condemnation and freedom in Christ because of the Spirit." These are the two benefits we have, that we are not anymore condemned and we are set free because of these two laws. It was also mentioned here, two laws, the law of the Spirit of life and the law of sin and death. There were two laws that were at work, that are still at work in us as Christians. And it's like, you know, the best illustration, classic illustration that Bishop Manny, Pastor Manny, you know, when we were growing up on campus, he made this illustration and he said, it's like the law of gravity versus the law of aerodynamics. You know, he asked us, have you ever wondered how these jumbo, big jumbo planes, 747 planes can actually fly, you know, 30,000 feet into the atmosphere? And it's because in spite of the law of gravity working on these heavyweight planes and its passengers and cargo, of course, it's because there is a law called the law of aerodynamics. I put for you a picture illustrating the forces at work in an airplane while it is airborne. There's the thrust, you know, that is created by the boosters, the turbine engines. Of course, the weight is the law of gravity. And then there's the drag because of the body of the airplane. But what brings it really up is called the lift. And the lift is called, is a force created by low pressure and high velocity, you know, the wind coming through, passing through it because of the thrust, and the wings using that, and there's a dynamic force happening around the plane. It brings it up. Okay, as air moves on its wings, it opposes and outweighs, outdoes the law of gravity, in the same way that the airplane can fly and soar and fulfill its purpose. You know, there is the law of the spirit, and the law of sin and death is being canceled or being overwhelmed, prevailed upon by a greater law. So I'm going to share with you in these next few moments three contrasts in the 12 verses that we can find in Romans chapter 8. The first is the law of the spirit of life and the law of sin and death. First, we need to understand when Apostle Paul was writing the word law in the book of Romans, he was either referring to the Torah, commandments of God to the Jews, or he was also talking about the instructions for them, you know, not just the Ten Commandments, but the other various laws. But more than that, it's really that spirit of the law, or which leads to sin and death. And the law is like a principle. It has authority. It has power. It affects something, you know. Whether you believe the law or not, the law of gravity will affect you. In the same way, these laws that the Bible talks about will have an effect in our lives. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul was being required of some proof or credibility when he would write these letters. And, you know, sometimes people would think that his letters are law, but the Apostle Paul was referring to the law, forming words, you know. And sometimes we think that there needs to be some proof that this really has authority. But he refers to himself as being made adequate or competent by the letter of the spirit, not the letter of the law. Okay, it says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 6 that he had adequacy as a servant of God and authority as a servant of God, not based on the letter of the law, but on the spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. This is like much like the flavor of what we're going to talk about, the contrast that we're going to talk about. And just like Jesus, you know, there was a time that he fed multitudes, I think 5,000 in one occasion. And he was talking about, I am the bread of life, or the bread from heaven. And after he demonstrated miracles, he began to talk about, you know, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, if you feed on me, and then you will live. And on hearing this, you know, many of the disciples said, oh man, this is a hard teaching. Much like the one in Romans chapter 8, we're trying to understand. And the disciples, some of the disciples said, who can accept this teaching? Aware of that, disciples, that Jesus was aware that these disciples were grumbling, and he asked them, does this offend you? And then he says in John 6:63, what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? In John 6:63, he says, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the spirit and life. And beloved, this day, I want for you to think about the spirit that gives life. That is our life, the spiritual life. You become spiritual not by reading the Bible. You know, you become spiritual when you have life in the spirit, when you are born of the spirit. But if you are just of the law or of the letter, then your life is going to ebb away because of legalism. Now, going back to Romans chapter 8, verse 1 to 2, there is now no condemnation. That means there is now a legal declaration by God, and there is a setting free, the power to be free, brought about by the gospel. The good news is that for you and me who are in Christ, we experience that verdict. God says, no condemnation for you. No more. Sometimes we struggle with shame and guilt, but God's verdict is no condemnation. Pero kailangan natin ma-experience yung transformative power ng truth na yun. We can't just mouth it or talk about it. Are you experiencing the power of that revelation, the freedom that comes with having no condemnation? Or are you still being bugged by your sin in the past? Are you still condemned now of things that you have done or things that you have not done? Do you still feel the threat or the fear of sinning again? You see, the key to living in this freedom is Christ. Are you in Christ? That's why it says, for those who are in Christ. You have been set free if you are in Christ. In that next slide right there, highlighting how does that happen? How do you become in Christ? How do you get into Christ? You know, how does the in Christ happen? Well, do you still remember before our Christ days? I call it the BC days. When I was a student, I found Christ. And before that, my life was just, you know, full of arrogance. I was a molecular biology student. I was a scholar of DOST. I was trying to live to please my parents, myself. I was trying to prove myself pretty much and was attending a lot of activities in school. But there was a lot of laziness as well. And I found myself, you know, cursing a lot of times. And although nobody actually put me in a cursing class, but I was saying a lot of bad words. Grabe, makapagmura ako dati. Napakalutong. Malutong pa sa chicharong bulaklak. And I really want to tell you that those were my days in Christ. But when I came to Christ, Pastor Rice Brooks visited our university. There were hundreds of people that came to know the Lord. They responded to the gospel. They prayed the sinner's prayer. I remember that happening to me. And I could not forget. I could still tell you that whole story, but I could not forget how all that, you know, all my sin was exposed to me. And I was in shock because that in spite of the exposition of my sin, God would still love me and died on the cross for me and rose again for me. And I remember it today as if it was just a while ago. I'm still grateful and I am humbled every time that from a cursor, now I'm a preacher. What a privilege really to share the word of God with you this morning. It says in 1 Corinthians 1:30 that it is by God's doing that you and I are in Christ Jesus. How do you get into Christ? God makes it happen. We cannot make that happen. God puts us into Christ if we believe. The gospel is about who God is and what He has done and what He is doing today. The gospel is not about a church or a religion. There is a church because of the gospel. And Jesus, the wisdom and righteousness of God, miraculously, you know, that message of His life put upon, when I came to hear of it properly, it awakened faith in me, an ability to believe, and rescued me not only from my past, but also from a future that could have been, you know, messed up. And now He gives me a future that is secured. And while He's presently working in my life, you know, we might ask, how does that happen? What is the dynamics of being put into Christ? How does He make it happen? And God makes it happen miraculously, of course, by His Spirit. And there's a principle in the olden times, people became Christian when they went through waters of baptism. That was their mark. If somebody gets baptized, then they're a Christian. And they assume that they're already regenerate, that they're already born of the Spirit. Unfortunately, it was actually supposed to be just an external symbol. But here in Romans 6:3-5, which we did talk about in the previous installments of this series, the principle of being baptized into death means that you and I are united with Him in resurrection. It is not simply the waters, just like the ancient people, ancient Christians. But what it symbolized, the waters of baptism, is an external symbol of an internal work of God. Let me say that again. Baptism is an external symbol of an internal work of God. Have you gone through the waters of baptism? Did you understand being baptized in water means you are identifying, you are saying, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for me, that He rose for me so that I can live without no condemnation, without any condemnation, and so that I can be set free. And so the same way the brands represent a service or a product quality, you know, being baptized represents the service of Christ, which we have come to believe. Galatians chapter 2, verse 12 talks about through faith in the working of God, that who raised Him from the dead. Galatians 2:20 says, it's by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Have you come to put your faith in the Son of God named Jesus? Have you come to believe that He loved you? That He gave Himself for you? Love na love tayo ni Lord. And we can participate in that by faith. Somebody say that, by faith. And the substance is of things hoped for is that faith. Now, have you put your faith in Christ? We can experience Christ dying by faith. In the same way, we can experience Christ's resurrection, His power, by faith. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 and 9 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith." Romans chapter 6 verse 17 says, "But thanks be to God that although you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that of teaching to which you were committed." Now, going back again, Romans chapter 8 verse 1, this is our first contrast. In Christ, we have experienced the miracle of being united with Him. No more condemnation, and we have freedom from sin and death. Here's the second contrast that we can find from that Bible verse that we read. The second one is that the law was powerless, but God, the lawgiver, is powerful. And so we see that in verse 3 of chapter 8, it says that what the law was powerless to do, God did. Can you imagine that? The law was powerless to do one thing, but God was able to do this thing. What is this thing that the law was powerless about, but God was powerful in doing? You see, the law only condemns the sinner all the time. But God, here's what it did. It says in verse 3 that God condemned sin in sinful man. He condemns sin in our sinful nature. The law condemns the sinner, but God does not condemn the sinner. He condemns the sin. Okay? See, the law only rules guilty. Okay? Only rules shameful. Shame, shame, shame. But in Christ, He's saying no more shame. In Christ, He's saying no more guilty. If anyone says you're guilty, they can charge it to the merit of Jesus Christ dying on the cross. How did He pay for that? He became a sin offering. He became a sin offering. That's what it says in that verse, verse number 3. So in Romans 8, 3-4, in that highlighted slide, it says that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us. He condemned sin in us so that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us. It is not being met, it is fully met. It is imputed. It is instantaneous. So God was able to condemn sin in our nature, in our flesh, and fulfill the righteous requirements of the law met in us. Those are the two things that God was able to do. And a question again pops up. How is the righteous requirements of the law fulfilled? And what is the righteous requirement of the law? We're going to see that in verse 4. Okay, how is it fulfilled? Well, it's fulfilled not just for us. It's also fulfilled in us. That's a very big difference. We could not accomplish the law, but Christ fulfilled that. But He did not just fulfill it for us. He fulfills it in us. And how do we experience that fulfillment in us? By walking through the power of the Spirit. By living according to the Spirit. And this whole chapter is about, the power of the Holy Spirit, being alive in the Holy Spirit. And the righteous requirement of the law basically is the Ten Commandments and the Torah, which we cannot fulfill on our own ability. And mind you, we're not called to fulfill the Jewish laws, only the moral laws, the Ten Commandments, because we're not Jewish. But today, how do we fulfill the law? How do we experience fulfilling the law? How do we know if we're living in the fulfillment of that law? And the answer can be found in Romans chapter 13, verse 8 to 10, particularly verse 10, when it says, "Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law." We're going to piggyback on this later. "For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet." Very sounds familiar, right? The Ten Commandments. "And if there's any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying," listen to this, "you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." What is the fulfillment of the law? Love. Galatians 5:22 speaks about the fruit of the Spirit is love. Wow, what a privilege to really live in the Spirit. How did God fulfill that which the law was powerless to do? He did it by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. He condemned sin in sinful man by sending Jesus. In Romans chapter 3 verse 16, says this, God so loved that He gave His one and only begotten Son. He didn't just give a son. He gave His one and only begotten Son. He didn't just give His son. He gave it out of love. And in verse 17 of John chapter 3, it says, "For the Son of Man did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." He saved the world, period. And He is still saving the world today. He is still saving us. How is He still saving us? If we are already saved, how is God still saving us? You see, there is justification, Romans chapter 3, chapter 8, verse 3 and 4, going back to this. But there's also sanctification. And here's the beautiful thought, that in terms of, you know, whatever happens to us, yes, we're justified according to God's righteousness, as to His law. But while we're still on the earth, there's the work of being made holy, of being made more godly or Christ-likeness. And this is where we need to cooperate with God. We need to cooperate with God in transforming us, in changing us. You see, verses 3 to 4 says that He condemned our sin, and it's according to the Spirit that we ought to live. And in verse 5, it says, now, our minds can be about what that nature desires, but there are minds that are set on what the Spirit desires. You probably experienced that struggle, and you talked about this in the previous, you know, as a student, I would want to finish and submit all my papers, but that there would be these old mindsets, old habits, easy distractions. Used to be part of the International Grammar Society, always trying to rush things, waiting for the pressure, or maybe you had a life before that was filled with lies or pretension, and it's still trying to creep in. And sometimes we set our mind on all those things. But God is saying, not anymore. You have a decision to set your mind on the old nature or to set your mind on the spiritual nature. That's what verse 5 is saying. And a third contrast is this, a mind set on the Spirit versus a mind set on the sinful nature. What are your minds set on? Did you know that to be controlled means to be given over to be preferred, to be influenced? Not to be dominated, but to be influenced, okay? Not control, total domination control, because God's Spirit sets us free. And sometimes many people think that if I'm a Christian, I'm going to be under the control of the Holy Spirit, or I'm going to be bound to follow these commandments and all. On the contrary, it's being in the Spirit that we actually can live the life that has no limits, no limitations in terms of potential, in terms of what is good and what is right. But when we live in the sinful nature, our choices become limited, especially when we do things that break the law or that kill ourselves or that take life or damage. Our choices become limited. So the exhortation by the Apostle Paul is to live with a mindset on the Spirit. I remember it was this time, a story of Peter and the 12 disciples, and Peter had this wonderful moment, amazing power moment with Jesus, because Jesus was asking the disciples, "Who do people say I am?" You know, you'll find this in Matthew chapter 16. Sabi ni Lord, "Who do people say I am?" Next, sabi nung isa, "Well, some say Elijah, some say the prophet, and all that. What about you? Who do you say I am?" Sabi ni Peter, You were the Christ, the Son of the living God." Wow, galing ng brilliant answer. Tapos talagang, siguro nagpapalakpakan yung mga ibang disciples. Galing naman ni Peter. Man, ganyan, diba? What a spiritual moment right there. And then immediately in verse 21, Matthew 16, you know, Jesus began to show disciples that He must go to Jerusalem, He must suffer, all kinds of things in the hands of the elders and the priests and all that. And then He even said that He's gonna be killed and on the third day rise again. Ano mo sabi ni Peter? Peter said, "Okay, God forbid it. Surely not, Lord." Nah, sabi ni Peter, "This shall never happen." Kasi action man si Peter, no? Of course, we already saw what happened in Garden of Gethsemane. He drew the sword and missed somebody and instead cut an ear. Okay, hindi asintado eh, naduling, you know. But he turned aside, said to Peter, you know, "Get behind me, Satan." Sabi ni Jesus kay Peter, you know, from a brilliant moment Jesus rebukes Peter and says, "You are a stumbling block to me. You are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's." Here's a great moment where you can be spiritual, but yet at the same time, there are moments that we can have a carnal mind or an old nature mind. But God is exhorting us to set your mind on God's interest. Set your mind on the Spirit. How do you know the mind of the Spirit? It is about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. It's not about anxiety. Lalo na ngayon, daming issues sa gobyerno, daming issues sa pandemic, sa quarantine. But yet, you have a choice. What are you gonna set your mind on? If you keep on filling your mind with the news of God, then you probably expect a lot of anxiety and fear, and feelings of just being in suspense. But if you fill your mind with the Word of God, with the truth of God, with the Bible, with worship, then you can expect that there's gonna be peace in your life and joy in spite of the things that are happening. I put for you a quick table contrasting a mindset on the flesh and a mindset on the Spirit. It is enticed by sinful desires, yung flesh, versus a mindset on the Spirit, what the Spirit desires. One is death, other is life and peace. One is hostile, one is for pleasing God. So these are things that I want for you to be aware of, that as we read Romans chapter 8 and live out after this service, that we would set our mind on the Spirit, that is to live in God, because God is life. It reveals the presence of God. It reveals, while the spiritual mind always reveals the presence of death. Are you praying every day? Are you worshiping? Are you getting discipled? You see, God wants us to live not just for His pleasure, but to live from His pleasure. And so in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, it says, "You are not of the sinful nature. You're not that anymore. Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. The Spirit of God lives in you." And I'm going to pause a little bit. I'm going to deviate. But I sense the Spirit of God, Pastor Archie, to this and our church in Victory Dumaguete. The Spirit of God lives in you. I have great memories of just worshiping with you. And the Spirit of God is alive in you individually and alive in you as a church. Whatever God is working in your lives right now, especially those of you who are young people, that when God sends you out to the nations, I want to tell you that the Spirit of God living in you is going to propel you in many more ways that you cannot even imagine. If God told it to you today, you will not believe it. For the Lord says, "The old is gone, the new has come, and I am doing a new work in the world today." And the Lord says that I am raising world changers in Dumaguete City. And the Lord says, "My sons and my daughters, know that I am coming to change the way you see the world." For the Lord says, "You are overcomers. You are going to prevail over your circumstances." The Lord says, "You're going to prevail over old mindsets. I am breaking the chains, some of that have been taken by the slumber of the world." The Lord says, "You have been marked in me. You are sealed by my Spirit. You belong to me, for I dwell in you and I chose to dwell in you and among you. And what you are doing there shall not end until I shall return." It's what I sense the Spirit of God saying to our church in Dumaguete. He's reminding us that the Holy Spirit is the seal, the guarantee. We have been marked. May tatak tayo. Di ba? Parang yung mga tatak na mga kinakain natin. May tatak. And it shows, that mark shows who we belong to. And the greatest mark of a Christian, I remember R.T. Kendall in his book, Holy Fire. He says the greatest evidence for God in the world today is the Christian who lives not with the spirit of timidity, not with the spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Are you living in power? Are you living with love? Are you living in the sound with a sound mind? You see, we belong to Christ. You and I are Christ followers. That's our identity. And our security comes from Him because He takes care of us. We belong to Him. Some of us have pets. We take care of our pets. How much more children? Would not a good parent, a responsible parent, take care of his or her children to the best of his or her ability? God is a perfect Father. And He will provide for us. Those of you believing for provision, He's going to provide for us. He's already made us important and significant because He sees us with pleasure. We don't need to apply to please Him anymore. We are a pleasure to Him. And we should live from that pleasure. The Spirit of God dwells in us, and we dwell in God. I want to tell you, no more rejection, no more alienation. Why? Because we are wanted in this family. You are wanted here in this family. If you feel like you don't have a lot of friends, well, you are wanted by God. If only for God, and stay in that family. If you are from another spiritual family, you've been rejected, I want to tell you, you know, if you've experienced rejection in the church, I want to apologize in behalf of that church. That's not what God wants for you. I want to apologize. You know, there's no perfect church. Especially in our church, if you feel like you're not accepted, you're not welcome, I want to tell you that God wants you here. He doesn't just like you. He really wants you here. Not so that you can serve para gamitin kaya. No, no, no. It's not about your service. It's about you. It's about who you are. I experienced that as a student. Hindi ako nagtatayag, hindi ako tumutulong, but I was just loved, and that's why I serve God today, because He wanted me in this family. And I'm not about to change that. I got married in this church. I raised my kids in this church, and it's Every Nation family. You and I belong to Christ, and He has given us His Spirit. No more condemnation. We are free not to sin. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us by His Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is God. He's a person. You can speak to Him. He comes alongside you. I hope you take a walk by the beachside with the Holy Spirit. I hope that you eat your meals at Joe's Chicken Inato, or Inato Chicken. I hope you eat those chicken meals with God. Enjoy it. Savor the moment. I hope you fellowship with the Holy Spirit, you know. And you'll find friends. If you don't have friends, then make friends. The fastest way to find friends is to make one. Be a friend yourself. And you cannot find perfect friends, because you're not a perfect friend either. That's what, you know, Christianity is about. It's about friendship with God and friendship with other people. It's about loving God and loving other people. It says in Romans chapter 8 verse 10, if Christ is in you, your body is dead. I'm not saying your body physically dead, but spiritually dead because of sin. And it says, your spirit is alive, spiritual life, because of righteousness. The power of doing right is within us by the Holy Spirit. Yes, we have a tendency to do wrong because of the old nature, but we have the power to do what is right, what is good, what is fair. We don't need to be given to the old nature anymore. And Bible says, if the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is living, you know, the Spirit of God raised Jesus from the dead. Not all men that died remain dead. There was one, his name is Jesus. He rose from the dead. It says that if that Spirit is living in you, that Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. We are not afraid of COVID. We are not afraid of getting sick. We are not afraid of not having a full life. Jesus said, worship the Lord your God and He will give you a full lifespan. Take away sickness from among you. If you're afraid, you know, I want to tell you, I've been praying for people that have been infected with COVID, counseling families, that they would recover. One of our pastors just recovered. He spent a lot, buti na lang may field help, but he recovered. You know, one of my friends and this guy who's an anointed worship leader back in our Campo days, his name is Gerson Callejo. But if you hear this testimony, if you're listening to this testimony, I was watching him, and he works in Dubai. He's a mechanical engineer, a UP Diliman student, an anointed worship leader. And for a time, he had to go through, life happens, he had to work, he's still single right now. And in Dubai, in a few months, in April, we're still conversing by messenger. And then he stopped conversing, and then he got infected, and only found out later as he was testifying that as he was, you know, blow by blow, he started having shortness of breath, having all the symptoms of COVID, how the church had been praying for him, how people had helped him. And he was testifying that God's power saved him. He has fully recovered. He's alive today, because there is a Spirit who gives life to our mortal bodies. If you are in sickness, if you are afraid of sickness, I want to tell you, you need to think life. Think of the Spirit. Think of a full life. God is able to give us a full life. We are not to be victims of circumstance. We are to be victors in this life. And if those who do not have hope because they do not have Christ, then therefore you should offer Christ to them so that they can have hope. Are you sharing the gospel to the lost? But if you are in Christ, then don't despair. Live life to the full. We don't need to give in to depression. clinical or non-clinical depression. There is a spirit who gives life to us. There's a spirit who gives us the mind of the spirit. We pray in the spirit. If you, especially if you're praying in tongues, I want to encourage you, pray in the Holy Ghost. Experience the fullness of God's love and the fullness of life. Gerson was testifying, man, I was so encouraged. He said, after all that, it was a severe, you know, case of COVID. But then he recovered. He's healed. He's worshiping and he's testifying. One of the former students in UP. Romans chapter 8 verse 12 says, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation not to the sinful nature. I'm going to shortcut this because it's in verse 13. But it is to the Holy Spirit. It is to the Spirit, this obligation. You and I owe nothing to the flesh. Wala tayong utang sa old nature. Wala nang ginawa yung old nature sa atin kung hindi entrap tayo, i-depress tayo, i-repress tayo, i-oppress tayo. He is unable to please God. Okay, lahat na ng press, wrong press, oppress, okay? Alta pressure, okay? It keeps us afraid. It keeps us condemned. But because God sent His Son on the cross, the only debt we need to pay is to be indebted to the Spirit. We owe God our life. We have an obligation to love, not an obligation to be enslaved again in religiosity, to be enslaved again by rules. No, you and I belong to Christ and He has given us His Spirit so that we can be free. Alala ko si, you know, in the words of a great kung fu master, okay, to his terrible student, he said, you are free to eat. Sabi niya kay Po, no, Master Shifu. God is saying to us, you are free to love and be loved. You are free to be loved and be loved. You want to know why? Because you and I belong to Christ. And He has given us His Spirit so we can be free to love. There are many challenges that make us suffer in this life. But there's no power that can rule over the Holy Spirit's power. And He has given us the Spirit, not of fear or timidity, but a spirit of love, of self-discipline, or a sound mind. It's time to have a sound mind. Think Spirit. Think God. Think of Christ.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.